Blog Talk Radio.
Take all of me,
Everything I am, everything I have is yours. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Everything I am is yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm yours. I don't hold back anything. I don't hold back anything. Everything I have, everything I am yours. I'm yours. My dreams are yours. My future, yours. My possession, yours. My family, yours. My finances, yours. My talent, my gifts are yours. My whole body belongs to you. My agenda is yours. Everything I have, everything I am, 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 everything I have, everything I am. It's yours. Yours, yours, everything I am, yours. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. Everything I have is yours. All I want is your presence, Jesus. I just want your glory. I just want your presence in my life. I don't care about anything else. You can do with me as you please. I am yours. Oh Lord, I am yours. I am yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let's not forget our mission,
faith. And Lord, I said, into the highways and the hedges, into the buildings of our mission, that my house may be filled. Luke 14:23. Amen. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Can we say amen again? And I want to play the sermonic solo. And those of you who are in radio land, we thank God for you being here today. You're listening to Prophetic Outreach Chapel, Cleveland-LIMG. And we're located at 12025 Griffin Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, 44120. Our phone number is area code 216-538-0432. One day when the Lord let me remember, I'll even give you our website. But thank you, Jesus. We thank God that you're in the city, come by and visit us. If you are on the internet, you can look up our website. You can see us on Facebook. Amen. And our youth for subject today is hold on.
Hold on.
Can you say that with me? Hold on.
Hold on.
And our sermonic song is going to be hold on. Amen. So we're going to play that. Amen. Some of you may think about this song as you're sitting there listening. I want you to think about whatever you may be going through. I want you to remember to hold on. Amen. Amen. Got to hold on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. We want to never let go. Amen. No matter what your circumstances are, you don't want to let go. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize just we are to the promises of God. Amen. And I want to bless me go for the throne of grace because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you pray for me, hopefully, the Lord, I won't be before you long. Amen. Father God, Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, look over the radio land. Lord, you know who's listening, Lord. You know where country, what city, what issue, what situation. Oh, God, you are all-seeing, all-knowing God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, touch right now in the name of Jesus. Someone cry out to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody needs to be saved. In the name of Jesus, touch right now. Send your healing virtue, Lord, in the hospital rooms. In the name of Jesus, there is no great doctor like you. You can heal all manner of diseases. You can tell the dead person to get up from there. Oh, God, nothing is impossible with you. Jesus, help us to hold on. Help us to hold on. Help us to hold on to your unchanging hand. Help us to hold on. No matter what we're going through, help us to hold on, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Sunday. Lord, we'll be careful to give your name praise. We'll be careful to give you the glory. Hey, it all belongs to you anyhow. But I know if I don't praise you, hey, the rocks will cry out. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, so while we have a mouth and a chance and breath in our bodies, we want to praise your great and holy name. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to use me as an oracle. Lord, that you speak to me first. Yes, Lord, that you speak to your people, Lord. Send out your anointed word in the name of Jesus. And we are thanking you and praising you right now. Thank God. Amen and amen. Now, for those of you that like to write things down, I'm going to give you the scriptures that I'm probably not going to go through all of these. Amen. Okay, first we're going to go to Genesis 12, starting at the second verse, going through the seventh verse, amen. Genesis 12, 2 through 7. And then we're going to go to Genesis 15, 1 through 6, amen. And then we're going to go to Genesis 17, 15 to 21, amen. Then we're going to go to Genesis 18, 9 through 15. You are a scholar, you might understand and know where I'm going. Then we're going to go to Genesis 16, 1 through the fourth verse. And then the Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. So sometime when you have time to read all these things that I'm talking about, you're going to understand. Genesis 16, 4 through 6. And then last of all, Romans 4, 18 through 21. Amen. So the subject is what? Hold on. Hold on. First, we're going to talk about, because see, we're talking about, you know, the father of our, should we say, existence, those of us who are here, the father of our existence. So now we're going to talk about Abram. Before, you know, we know him as Abraham, but Abraham used to be Abram, amen? So now the problem here is we need to understand about the wait. In this time here, Abram had to wait. He was at 75 years old, and I will read to you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, if my Bible cooperates. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse you. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Amen? Amen. That right there, that's the start. Already, God is already what? Making a what? Promise. and a covenant. Okay? Then as we go to Genesis 12 and 4, because I want you to go along with me, because sometimes we got to walk with the Lord a little bit. Amen? It says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, think about it. 75 years old, Abraham was going out on a mission, amen, being obedient to God, amen. Think about how much, how all of us were going to go out there and go out when we're 75 years old. When he was 75 years old, he was first promised by God to become a great nation. Now, put yourself in Abram's sandals. How would you think about, I'm 75 years old. What do you mean about a great nation at my age, amen? Some of us want to think about, you know, our physical sense. We think about how we can do things in this mortal life. Think about how we can do things in the flesh. But you know what? God had a plan for Abram, amen? So how important a promise would you guess was in Abram's culture? You know, in their culture, a promise was very big. It was almost like a legal thing. I mean, it was very important. When a promise was made, whether you made it to one another, you know you had to what? Keep that promise. Now, if you go with me to Genesis 15:1-3, now see, because they, you know, back in those days, they weren't like we are today, amen. We can promise with one mouth, and then we'll come back and take it back. Amen. If the Lord covenant with Abram, it says, after this word, the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now think about this. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram says, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Amen. Now think about, Abram was thinking about, okay, you saying I'm going to be great. How is it I'm going to be great? How can that happen? My servant is going to inherit everything that I have. How great would I be when I'm having somebody else's child, somebody else's name, going to carry down my lineage? What are you talking about, God? Because what was he doing? He was seeing with his own consciousness. Amen. But if you read Genesis 15:1-3, you understand here, if you understand that he's trying to figure out, Lord, what are you talking about? What do you want me to do? You have a covenant with me. You said that you are my shield, you are my reward, but still, I don't have any children. I understand what you're saying, but I don't have any children. And here, if you owe someone money, it's a conscious thing when you see them, amen? The first thing comes to your mind about what they owe you. So he and Abraham having a talk with God, the first thing comes to his mind is the promise. The promise. The promise, the covenant that he had made with him. How am I going to be great? You said that. I don't understand it. I don't understand what you're saying. Now, think about it. Go with me. Walk with me. Now, Abraham is 85 years old. 10 years have passed since God promised him at 75 to become a great nation. You know, when things happen and people prophesy to you, God speaks to you. See, God's time is not our time, amen? But see, when things don't happen because you don't, even in that time, see, things can happen instantaneously. You know, then the devil has time to start to walk in our minds, amen? It has been 10 years since God has made him a promise, but yet still, what has happened? Why does God no doubt remember his promise, tell Abraham his faithful to good to God is a great reward? What reward are you talking about, God? I don't understand it. If you evaluate Abraham's response, is his response of faith? Is he saying, Lord, how am I going to be great? Lord, I believe that you're going to be great. And see, what is his response? He has not, is he thinking about, God has not kept his promise? What is he thinking about? Has God not kept his arrangement? What is he thinking about? But we know that God is no shorter than his what? So they said there are two levels. First, they're simply patiently waiting. This is where we got to be. You know, there are two levels. The first is accepting and patiently waiting. You know, not intervening, waiting. Because sometimes we like to do things and say, God told us to do it. When God didn't tell us no such a thing, we just got in a hurry. So the first thing we got to do is accept what God says and patiently wait. The second is to challenge God to keep his promise. But look to God as the one who is able to perform. Look, it says, look to God. Not to man, not to yourself, but look to God, the one who is able to perform the non-faith response. I want you to think about here, you when you're in there, you're waiting on the Lord, you got to understand, you're talking about you waiting on God to do what he promised to you. God, if God told you he's going to do X amount of things in an X amount of time period, he is no what shorter than his promise. But if God says, I'm going to do this, and there's no time period given to you, you got to do what? Wait. We said, you know, we sing the song, you can't hurry God. No, you just got to wait. You got to what? Trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. That's right. But he'll be there. Don't you worry. Genesis 15:46. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man will be your heir, but as son who is of your flesh and blood would be your heir. So let me phrase that. I said, this man will not, let me correct that correction, not be your heir. He said, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood would be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now think about it. I don't know if you've ever been out at nighttime and you looked up at the stars. You know, in the city, it's kind of hard to see them, but if you've ever been in the country and you can see all the stars, they're too numerous to count. How can you count that which God has put up in the sky? That if you can count them, he said, if you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham, what? Believed the Lord. And he credited it to him as righteous. Yes. So God said it, and it shall be done. God said it, and it shall be done. So what stage has Abraham reached now? He is at the edge of simply ignoring God. He laughs at the promises because it seems it has no value. Like, now I'm old. What are you talking about now? Amen. I'm an old man. What the youth are you talking about now? Do marriages fail because of promises? Well, I want you to know we're not talking about a marriage between a man and a woman here. We're talking about being what? Being married to God. Why would you wait so long on God? What purpose does a 25-year delay serve? This is one of those areas in which it's difficult, at least for our own minds, to understand the mind of God. Who can understand the mind of God? A son, Isaac, was born by then. And Isaac's name means to what? To laugh. Think about this. They are not believing, not trusting that at their age that God can do the impossible. So when they hear this prophesied, they laugh within themselves. But then they have a song that is named Isaac, which means to laugh. Let me tell you something. If God said it, I believe it. Now, you can't laugh at God. If God gives it to be so, you better believe it to be so. Amen. Now, I want you to know, if you go with me, hey, thank you, Jesus, to Genesis 18:10-12. I'm trying to go through. Keep on praying for me. It said, and then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. Now, see, rather than me jumping around. Hey, Abraham had some visitors. They were on their way for a big mission down the line. But they came to see him because God commanded for them to be a prophecy to him and Sarai. But notice Sarai became Sarah, amen? Means great mother. They came to tell him specifically what was going to happen. But then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now think about it. These people are old, gray, and beyond childbearing years. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent to which was behind him. And Abram and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. What did Sarah do? She laughed to herself and thought, "And after I am worn out, and my Lord is old, would I now have this pleasure?" Think about this statement. You said that I was young. Then you said I was, you know, old and feeble. I'm old and I'm agile. I said, after what? I am worn out, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Because, see, she's looking at the physicality, not thinking about with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? She was hearing what was being said, but she had not let it come to herself that God said it. And if God said it, it's going to happen. Amen? It was a reality of God's promise to them. You know, over and over, God had to come there and remind them and promise them. He kept coming and reminding them that this is what's going to happen. But because it didn't happen within their own time, they wanted to intercede and do their own thing. Now, Hebrews 11, 12, and I'm going on. God's going to help me. I'm going to get to where I want to go. Thank you, Jesus. It said, and from this form, this one man, as he as good as dead. And so, from this one man, as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies and countless in the sand of the seashore. In other words, he was past his time too. He was good as dead. That means all physicality for this miracle to happen is over. We passed that stage. Amen? But God says it's going to be. So if God said it, it's going to be. Amen? All of this was part of the wait. Amen? And think about why they're waiting because it took so long. Then, you know, they begin to laugh in themselves. What's going on here? Why is it taking so long? But then the work began to happen. If you read with me Genesis 16, 1 to 2, it talks about at this point in time, and I want you to go with me, bear with me, keep praying for me, because there's a point that I want to get here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it says, Hagar and Ishmael. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Now, remember what God had told her was going to happen, amen? Now, instead of her saying, I'm going to hold on and I'm going to wait because I know God is able, amen. Instead of saying, I'm going to hold on because I know that God is the God that has done all these miracle things to me, I'm going to wait till my what change comes because I understand that now I am physically old, but God can move mountains. He can work on his old body. Hey, God can move mountains. Hey, he can cause me to be young in my flesh. But see, she didn't want to wait, so she went on to try to do what? Intervene in her own self. See, that's what happens sometimes. We don't want to wait on the Lord. So because we want X, Y, Z to happen, then we decide to work on his behalf. I want you to know that you can't do what God can do. Amen? You can, all that you can do, you try to intervene, you can just make a mess of the situation. Amen? Sometimes God will work with the mess that you made, but in this situation, what should the Sarah need to do, because he was Sarai, was wait on the Lord. Said, now Sarai, being Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. She said to Abram, The Lord hath kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. This is the NIV, which the Lord's going to bless me. And we're not to use that. But anyway, she get the point is, she's saying, okay, I don't wait long enough. Now, that's what she's saying. I don't waited long enough. Abraham was 85 years old, 10 years after the promise had happened, 15 years before Isaac will be born. What do you think about Sarah's statement? The Lord has kept me from having children. But it wasn't your time. Amen? There's a time and there's a season for everything under the sun. Amen? Because it was not time for her to give birth. Amen? But because it wasn't on her time, it didn't happen in her time, she's going to intervene and say, okay, come on, I need you to go ahead. We got to have a child. Amen? Think about what would that mean? How many people, how many wives today would say, you know what, we want a child. I'm going to go ahead and bring you somebody. We're going to do it that way. After someone had already prophesied to you, and you know it was a confirmation the Lord done told you, he's going to give you a child of your flesh. Then you're going to go ahead and say, well, it's taking too long. I'm not going to be able to take care of this child. I'm way too old. I can't do it. So I'm going to go ahead and get the child while I can. Amen? How many wives will go along with that? Because Sarah had not been named, Sarah had not been named as the mother. In what kind of light does she put this offer? God has kept her, or so it seems, from fulfilling his promise. Perhaps God, in his mind, some other woman to fulfill the promise, Sarah seems to be unselfish and impatient and willing to help God. She feels. Now, think about it. There are sometimes we got to look at our motives. She said, it appears that she seemed to be unselfish. But there again, here she was impatient and willing to help God. Can you help God? We're just human. How can we help God? That's right. You can't do that unless you can't work on God's behalf unless God is in us and works in us, through us, and instructions. Amen? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, now here's where we are caught up. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if there was a warning sign, here it would be. Warning. And lean not to your own understanding. Warning, don't do it. In all, not some of those ways. Maybe not just those, you know, just some of the things where I want to do worship, you know, I want to acknowledge him. But I got some other things, you know, I don't need his help in. But it says, in all your ways, submit. Now, that's a hard word for some of us to swallow. The word submit. Well, I got to submit. I know what I'm doing. I'm about to hit, but I want you to know, who are you? Who are you compared to God? You're just like we are. You are just mere dust and sand and vapor. So, you know, if you understand who and what you are, then that submits to him ought to be something that you are seeking to do every day, every hour of the day. It says submit to him, and he will what? Make your path straight. Sometimes we have some ups and downs, bumps in the road, trials, tribulations, because what? We went to our own understanding. Now, if you think about it, what happened with Adam and Eve? They were already told what to do. They were already told what not to do. But see, this is what happens. The trick of the enemy comes in and then begins to speak to the hearts and minds of people. But you got to know when the Lord speaks to you. You got to understand when he speaks to you that it is the voice of the Lord. You got to understand when the devil comes and rears his ugly head, that when he begins to think you contrary to what the word of God has said, contrary to what the word of God has written, contrary to what the word of God has put in you, then you need to stop and question what's going on. Amen? Because, see, we want to do what we want to do. When God tells us to go left, we're going to go right, because you can't tell me. God is not going to override you. God, the Holy Spirit, if you have on the inside, is not going to override you. But you got to let go and let God. Can you imagine these people when once the baby was born? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you think about it? It tells about after that, they had a baby. Can you imagine them in this time? then going to church and saying, well, look what has happened. God has blessed us with a son, and he's been merciful to us, and we're praising and thanking God for having God and giving all that. But then immediately, see, God let that birth happen, amen? And after she gave birth, then there was a problem already, and instantly Sarah didn't like the woman, amen? But she got what she wanted, amen? You need to be careful about what you ask for, because you just might get it. And everything that goes along with it, you just might get it. The problem here was she and her went, did that not mean to what the Lord had said? She wanted to happen what she wanted to happen. Now, if you think about it now, if you go with me to Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, I'll ask the first young lady if she would read that because I'm trying to go on. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And then,
trust in the Lord with all your heart,
mm-hmm,
and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Then we go to Genesis 16:4-6. Now, when I come in the door on Sunday morning, that's when I'm going to hear what the Lord had to say. But when I leave here Sunday afternoon, I'm on my own. When I come here Saturday in the morning, I'm going to hear what the Lord had to say. But Monday through Friday, I got to do my thing. Is that leaning not to my own understanding? Because then we are doing what we call religion. We're into religion. Not into worship and then lean into the understanding. We into the religion. Go ahead.
So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. So Abram said to Sarah, indeed, your maid in your hand, do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence.
Amen. Now, think about this. All right, thank you. She asked for this to happen, amen? And just think about it, because we're talking about when we ask for things and then the Lord allowed that to happen. As soon as she got her wish, instantaneously, she despised that woman. That woman had did nothing to her, amen? All the things the woman had did is what she asked her to do. She was her servant, amen? And as her servant, she was obedient to the master, and she went down and she conceived the child of her husband. Amen. So, but see, Sarah would not have been in that situation if only she had not leaned into her own understanding. If only she had been prayed for her. If only she had not laughed at the fact that when she heard the prophecy, they said, oh, I'm so old. Oh, I'm all dried up. How can this be? I got to intervene because I waited and nothing has happened. But then she went ahead, and now because of her wrong, which she said to her husband, see, now I was wrong. Well, it's too late now, though. Because you should have thought about that prior to. You should have thought it out because but you were leading to your own understanding, and your own understanding saw what your immediate need was, not how that would affect down the line. But now you admit that you have did wrong. But now a child is here. Now a child, which is the seed of Abraham, is here because you and the Lord allowed it to be so. But still, that was not the heir. That was not it because the Lord had already given a promise He had already made a covenant. He had already talked to the man of God. He had already talked to somebody with faith. He had kept on with confirming his word. He kept on sending a prophecy. All they had to do was just hold on to God. All they had to do was hear what the man of the Lord said. All they had to do was seek him for his understanding. All they had to do was understand that God is no shorter than his promise. All they had to do was realize that nothing is impossible. I mean, nothing is impossible with God.